Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. We're starting off today's show a little bit differently. Boomer Esiason of CBS Sports will join the show momentarily. My name is Carrington Harrison. To my right, it is the sports machine, Sean Levine. Directly in front of us is Rob Brenton. Before we go to the phone lines and be joined by Boomer Esiason, let's give you the latest from Patrick Mahomes, who confirms that he has been cleared off of the NFL's concussion protocol.
Yeah, I actually just got out of the protocol. The week has just been a bunch of testing, a bunch of different things, just to make sure that I'm good to go and there's no lingering effects and anything like that. But everything's been good, and I've went through what all the three, four different doctors have said, and everything's looked well, and I'm out of it now.
So let's go to the phone lines right now and be joined by our next guest. He is a four-time Pro Bowler. He was the NFL's most valuable player in 1998. He also is with CBS Sports. We welcome Boomer Esiason onto the show. Boomer, appreciate you making time.
Hey, guys. That's actually great news. I'm glad to hear that. That makes me very happy that we get to see the best player in the NFL on the field leading his team in the AFC Championship game. It's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Absolutely. This weekend is about quarterback matchups. You've got the young guns in Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and then you've got the old guard with Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady. What do you make of this quarterback matchup in the AFC title game?
You know, I think it's awesome. And the growth of both of these quarterbacks, has been right there before our eyes. And, you know, Andy handled Patrick a little bit different than Sean handled Josh in Buffalo. Josh really got started right away when he came out of Wyoming. As we all know, Patrick sat there for a year and watched Alex Smith and learned how to become a pro. But I don't necessarily know that either way is right. I think it all depends on the team, the coach, the player. I can tell you this, that the refinement that Josh Allen has had from this year to last year to his rookie year is significant. I mean, he is now truly a star. He's not on the level of Patrick just yet. He still has to get over Patrick, and he has to get into the Super Bowl and put on the performance that Patrick put on last year in the fourth quarter. But he is rising. He's a rising star. He is a dual-threat quarterback. They use him so much in so many different ways. And I think he carries a much heavier burden into this game than Patrick does. So it's a great matchup on both sides, the NFC and the AFC. But for me, to watch these young kids grow into these stars the way they have, appreciate the game, appreciate the history of the game. They know who they are in this game. They're dedicated to their sport and to their position. It really shows on the field and shows how their teammates appreciate them.
So, Boomer, this week a lot has been made of Patrick Mahomes being in the concussion protocol, and certainly understandable, but he's also dealing with turf toe or a foot injury. I don't know what your history is with turf toe. Have you ever experienced it before, and what effect do you think we could potentially see that play on the AFC Championship game?
So just so you know, for total transparency, I was the first player in the NFL in concussion protocol. That happened back in 1990. I can't even remember. I think it was 96. No, 95, actually, when I was with the Jets and missed four games. So it was a little bit different back then than it is today. I actually think it's a little bit more stringent, which I was praying that Patrick was going to make it, and I was so glad to hear that he was going to make it. So maybe the concussion wasn't as significant as mine was back then. And also, I have played with turf toe and plantar fasciitis, much like a lot of quarterbacks do this time of year. That's the thing that worries me about Patrick going into this game is he going to move around and run like he has done in previous games and extend plays? Because that's a big part of his game, and that's where a lot of their big plays come from. He is so poised back there, and the poise is evidenced each and every week. This young man has never had a bad game. So that's one of the things we'll talk about on Sunday, is the effect of the concussion and the turf toe and whether or not it's going to restrict his movement. I don't necessarily know that it will, but I wonder if he'll think twice about running with the football, because if that's the case, then we're not getting the real, true 100% Patrick Mahomes, and hopefully he can just let it fly and feel like he can play without pain.
Boomer, a lot of the young quarterbacks in the AFC that we've talked about the last few years have gotten their crack at Patrick Mahomes, whether it's Lamar Jackson or Deshaun Watson or last week Baker Mayfield. We know the result of all those games. What are the chances that Josh Allen can go out there and do something different than those other guys and actually come out on top?
You know, it's going to take a mammoth effort. You know, I've talked to a number of people that went into Kansas City against Patrick. My college roommate is the coach for the Indianapolis Colts, Frank Reich. And he went in with Andrew Luck about 2 years ago and won a regular season game with Andrew, but was unable to go back in there and win a playoff game. And they all know what the secret is. The secret is you got to force Kansas City to either turn the ball over or settle for field goals. If they turn the ball over and settle for field goals, then you can keep the game close until the fourth quarter, and then really comes down to whether or not you can run the ball and not make a mistake and don't throw it away and don't give it to them. And that's how you're going to have to win. And you're going to have to be able to run the ball. And this is something that Buffalo doesn't do. They don't even attempt to run the ball with running backs. They'll run it with Josh, certainly, because he's got the ability to do that. But if I were Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills, I'd have to say, look, I at least got to try to run a little bit on this defense and try to hold the ball and play a little defense with the offense. You know, and the other thing, too, to me, it looked a little bit like Kansas City through the year got a little frustrated with the way defenses had been playing them. They weren't blitzing. That's the last thing you want to do to either one of these quarterbacks, because they'll kill you. And the numbers tell you that. I think Patrick is 70% completion, 16 or 17 touchdowns to only one interception versus the blitz. And when you see numbers like that, that tells you stay away, back away, and make sure you keep everything in front of you. So I think that's probably been a little bit frustrating for their offense and one of the reasons why their games have been a little bit closer this year than most people would have expected. But last week's first half against the Browns, Patrick was great. He was on his way to a 400-yard passing game, I believe, until he got hurt. And I think as long as he is, you know, 95 to 100% going into this game, he should be able to put up those kinds of numbers against this defense as well.
The first time around, the Chiefs ran the ball really well, but I was kind of looking back, and Josh Allen only threw for a buck 22, and Tyreek Hill only had 20 yards. Yeah, the Chiefs won the game, but it was so long ago. How much better is Buffalo since the first time that these two teams matched up?
Significantly, and Josh Allen now really understands who he is. It is, you know, and I don't care what anybody says. We as quarterbacks know who the other quarterback in the game is, and that is something that Josh can't allow to take away from who he has been this year. And he has learned over the last 6 weeks. He's really, really refined his game. And even last week when he didn't play that well against Baltimore, due in large part to the conditions. And, you know, Lamar Jackson looked awful in the windy conditions up there in Buffalo. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, Josh was selected to go play in Buffalo, because he has the arm to get through those conditions. But he didn't have his best game, and they still won. And that's when you know that the kid has really arrived, and he didn't really make any key mistakes or any bonehead plays like he did last year against Houston in the playoffs. So this is a much more refined player. He is a terrific player. But I do believe that he has more of a burden on him to create offense, because he has one guy, Steph Diggs, who's terrific, and then he has Cole Beasley, who makes key plays. So if I were Steve Spagnuolo, the Kansas City defensive coordinator, I know that Diggs is going to make some plays. The guy that I got to stop is Cole Beasley. If I can keep him from having 5 to 6 catches and 3 to 4 converted third downs to first downs, then I think that's their best chance to win defensively.
Right now we're talking to four-time Pro Bowler. He also was the NFL MVP back in 1988. Boomer Esiason joining us on the show for a few more minutes. You talk about the burden that's placed on Josh Allen. A big part of it, too, is this team can't run the football. This playoffs, their running backs have 19 carries for 71 yards. In a game like this, how big of a deal is that, where Kansas City, they're not a great rushing team by any means, but they can have some balance and run the football. Buffalo can't run the ball.
Yeah, that's the big question. Like I told you, as Frank Reich told me, you got to go in, you got to be able to run the ball. And you can run the ball against the Kansas City defense. You know, this is not a great run defense, and I think this defense is good. I think Tyrann Mathieu is a special player. I think Chris Jones is a special player. But they can be run against. You know, this is not like what I would say a top five defense. And one of the reasons why the defense is as good as it is because they know their offense is going to score over 30 points. I mean, Patrick has been averaging, what, 33.5 points per game in the playoffs. He gets better as the playoffs get deeper, and I expect him to have another great AFC Championship game like he did last year, like he did against the New England Patriots the year before. There's nothing that tells me that he cannot do this against Buffalo, but I go into this game, if I am Buffalo, saying I have to run the ball. So this is going to be a real good test for Brian Daboll to see whether or not he will actually attempt to run it. Because if he doesn't, then I think they're asking for problems.
Boomer, you know how difficult it is to go to a Super Bowl. We talked a little bit about the young quarterbacks, but let's focus in on Mahomes. I mean, if they win this game, he will have gone to two Super Bowls and one AFC championship in 3 years of starting, where his start and what he's accomplished so far in his career, Brady's really the only comparison. You know how hard it is to play at this high of a level. What do you make of the start that Mahomes has gotten off to in his career?
Well, I know you guys don't on in the morning drive, I can tell you that. But, you know, for 3 years, I've been his biggest fan in the NFL. As a matter of fact, when I got a chance to meet him before the draft, he and his mom came to our studio, and he wasn't pushing anything. Usually before the draft, I don't know if you guys have had similar situations like this. A lot of times when the draft was in New York, the rookies would come in, they'd be pushing some product, and, you know, you'd get to talk to them about their experiences and all that stuff. Well, for the life of me, I don't know why Patrick and his mom came into our studio, because he wasn't pushing anything at that point in time. And when he left our studio, I looked at my partner and I said, that's the guy that I want as my quarterback. I'm just telling you, you can feel, you can ooze, and you can feel the confidence oozing from him, I should say. And he knew that he was ready for this. His numbers are ridiculous. You know, each week, you know, on the NFL Today, I get to regurgitate some of those numbers because they know that I'm one of his biggest fans. It's amazing what the young man has done. This is what I hope for him, because the money is so big, and he has already achieved so much, that he stays grounded, that he stays dedicated, and that he truly wants to become the greatest quarterback of all time. And in order to do that, he's going to have to overcome the 22-year career of who I think is the greatest of all time right now, and that's Tom Brady. And Brady is still playing at a very high level. So he's off to an unbelievable start. It's an envious start. He's got the perfect coach. They got the perfect system around him. They keep adding players that are faster than the last players that they've had. And I could see this thing running for the next 10 years as long as he stays dedicated and grounded.
Boomer, just so you know, I listen to your morning show as often as possible, because I don't know if you've heard ours here at 610, but it kind of sucks. So no. I listen to you quite as frequently as I possibly can.
Okay. Well, that's between you guys. Not between, I have nothing to do with any of that. But I can tell you this, that kid I have so much confidence in, that you know, my partners that I work with in the morning there gave me a photo of Patrick and me, and it's in a heart-shaped frame. So all I could tell you is that, like I said, I've been his biggest fan, and he's done nothing but held up everything I've ever thought that he could be in the league. And I just hope, like I said, for the next 10 years, he stays grounded, dedicated, and he wants to leave a legacy on this game, much like Tom Brady has wanted to leave a legacy and has left a legacy already.
Last question here, and it's a perfect way to end it. You bring up Tom Brady, and a lot of people consider him to be the greatest quarterback of all time. Who do you have in the NFC Championship game between the Bucs and the Packers?
You know, I like the Packers this year, and the reason I say that is because last year, if you remember, against San Francisco, they just got pushed around all over the place, and they just got beat up, and you could tell that they just weren't physical enough. So they went out in the offseason, and they decided, you know what, we're gonna become a more run-oriented team, and we'll do the play action, and we'll use the great Aaron Rodgers' arm and accuracy and ability to make plays. And what I saw last week against the number one defense in the Rams is they slammed it up in there, and they ran the ball down their throats. And they have three hammering running backs that take a lot of that pressure off of Aaron. And when they are successful running the ball the way they are, that play-action passing and the athleticism of Aaron Rodgers then now becomes even that much more significant to deal with. So, to me, I see the Packers and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. In no matter what the configuration for the Super Bowl is for us on CBS, Super Bowl 55, we'll be happy with it. But, you know, if I had my choice right now, I'd want to see Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes.
That is the four-time Pro Bowler. He also was the NFL Most Valuable Player in 1998. You can catch him every morning on WFAN and catch his work with CBS Sports. Boomer Esiason joining us on the show today. Boomer, I know you're busy. We appreciate you making time. Thanks a lot for coming on today.
Okay, guys. Thanks so much. Enjoy the game on Sunday. Good luck.
Absolutely. That's Boomer Esiason, former NFL MVP, joining us on the show today. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to play this cut for you guys really quickly. It's not just the head injury with Patrick Mahomes as he's cleared of the concussion protocol. It's also the toe injury. Mahomes also updates us on that.
You have to take it day by day. I think that's the biggest thing. You can only control what you can control. And for me, that was coming in every single day with a positive attitude, trying to make myself better, prepare myself as if I was going to play. And luckily enough, I haven't had any symptoms and I'm able to play. I just prepared myself and controlled what I could control. Luckily enough, we're at where we're at now.
And then just the other thing, it looked like you were a little bit hindered by your toe in that last game. I was wondering how you're feeling in that regard.
It's felt a lot better. I mean, the next day was very sore, and then every single day since then has gotten a lot better. And it's stuff that you deal with being a football player. You deal with injuries, and luckily enough for me, it wasn't as bad as it looked, and it felt that day of and that day after.
So if you missed the news, Patrick Mahomes confirms that he has cleared the concussion protocol, and all things are pointing to Patrick Mahomes being the starter on Sunday for the Kansas City Chiefs. You and I have approached it that way this entire week. I think Vegas has told you that they expected Patrick Mahomes to play, and based on the actions of the Chiefs this week and sort of preparing for this game, it certainly led us to believe that Patrick Mahomes was going to be the starting quarterback. My biggest takeaway on this game is a lot what Boomer was saying. Where if you look at the Buffalo perspective of it, so much of the responsibility is for Josh Allen to go out there and be great offensively because they cannot run the football. They do not have a viable running game. Their running game is Josh Allen. Their running game is predicated on him having a really good day passing or elite day passing, but him being able to give you 50 to 75 yards on the ground. My question with Buffalo is, we've seen Buffalo score a lot of points against a lot of teams that aren't anywhere close to where Kansas City is. Their last four games against non-playoff teams, they scored 34 points, 48 points, 38 points, and 56 points their final game against the Dolphins. They were hanging up a whole bunch of points against a lot of teams that it doesn't really matter. Against playoff teams this year, Buffalo was averaging 26 points a game. You and I are on the same page when it comes to this. If you don't score 30 points, it's just not realistic to think that you're going to beat Kansas City. So it's going to force Buffalo, who put up a lot of points against Atlanta, a lot of points against teams that didn't eventually end up making the playoffs. Are we going to see the top five quarterback, Josh Allen, against the Chiefs? Are we going to see the second most mobile, third most mobile quarterback in the league, Josh Allen, against Kansas City? It really comes down to how great is Josh Allen going to be. I expect Mahomes to be great because he's the best player in the league. I don't know if Josh Allen is going to be great on Sunday. I think that makes it really difficult for you to pick Buffalo to win this football game.
Are you trying to say that the Bills have been hotter than Farrah Fawcett in a forest fire?
Absolutely.
Up until really the last game, though, as you point out to me, they only scored one offensive touchdown against the Ravens. And that's kind of what I like to look at. Yeah, they beat a bunch of good teams and they beat a bunch of bad teams and they put up a bunch of points. The playoffs is completely different. In the last 2 weeks, they haven't been convincingly good in either one of those games. The Colts could have and probably should have beat them. And then against the Ravens, their offense did absolutely nothing. So what offense are the Chiefs going to face? And what defense is Buffalo going to face? Because as much as I've said the Chiefs offense can go into another gear, and I still think they can. I still think they can put up 42, 45 if Patrick Mahomes is healthy, and I wouldn't be at all surprised if that happens. I think the defense is more what we've seen the last couple of weeks, where it looks like they've kind of clamped down. It looks like their chemistry is pretty good. They've gotten a couple of turnovers. Tyrann Mathieu's playing like the Honey Badger we saw last year, where he was one of the best defensive players in the league. So I agree with you. Buffalo has potential to put up a huge number. This Kansas City defense might have something to say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So to go through the numbers and you talking about how Kansas City has that next gear, I looked this up because I was really curious. And we were talking to Sean Barber yesterday, and he was talking about how Buffalo was running such a great race against non-playoff teams.
Yeah.
So against non-playoff teams this year, Kansas City averaged 30 points a game. against playoff teams this year, Kansas City averaged 28 points a game. They were the same. The Chiefs are going to be the same, and we talked about them being coasters, but in a lot of games in which they coasted, they just didn't blow the team out the way we wanted to, but they always found a way to score. They always found a way to win. Buffalo's been a little bit different. Against non-playoff teams, they're averaging 34 points a game this year. Against playoff teams, they're averaging 26. They've been a drastically different team against teams the caliber of Kansas City. Hell, the last time we saw these two teams play, they scored 17 points when they played each other, and that was coming off scoring 16 against Tennessee, and I would say that was the low point for Buffalo so far this season. It really comes down to me in this. I've seen Kansas City time and time again, where even if Kansas City doesn't go out there and play their A-plus game, even if we're not talking about the exact same effort we saw Kansas City play with earlier this year against the Baltimore Ravens, I know what the Chiefs are going to do. If Mahomes is going to be healthy, I expect them to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire back. I expect Sammy Watkins to play in this game. I think Kansas City is going to be able to move the ball against Buffalo's very average defense. To what you're saying and to your point, and I agree with you, do we trust Josh Allen to do the exact same? Based on how they've run the football so far, Josh Allen's going to have to throw the ball 35 times to win it. 40 times to win it, maybe 45 times to win it. I'm not expecting Devin Singletary to go out there and run the ball effectively. They don't have Zach Moss. He's on IR with the ankle injury. This game comes down to if Buffalo's going to be able to pull off the upset. Josh Allen's going to have to be great and play one of the greatest games of his career. Their defense is also going to have to force multiple turnovers to neutralize the fact that they can't really run the ball and they're not really balanced. I'm just not at that level of trust with Josh Allen. He has had a fantastic year. But I just don't have enough trust in him and the rest of that team to win in a possible shootout against Kansas City.
It sounds like you do have trust in the Chiefs running game, which I do not. And I'm not going to just look at what Darryl did in the first playoff game versus Cleveland and go, oh, okay, he's going to do the same thing that Damian did last year and rack up 4 or 5 touchdowns and be snubbed of the Super Bowl MVP. Now we've got to feature back the next couple of games. I don't think that's the case. I'm sure as hell not going to look at week 6 when the Chiefs played Buffalo and racked up 200-plus yards and Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 26 for a 161 in the touchdown. I don't know if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to play, and if he does, I don't know if he's going to have more than a couple of touches. I look back at the offensive line in that game. It's a 40% difference, or 50, or without almost half of the offensive line that you had going in that game. So I'm not completely sold, because when you start talking about Buffalo doesn't have a running game, are we sure that the Chiefs have a running game?
I think the Chiefs are far more balanced than Buffalo, where I'm with you. I don't think the Kansas City's running game is great or elite by any means. I certainly don't think that. I think they're more than capable. Like right now, if you were telling me which offense is more capable of running for 80 yards in this game, certainly not a great day by any means. It's Kansas City and it's not close. Buffalo running backs so far this playoff have 19 carries for 71 yards over 2 games. They don't run the football effectively. If Josh Allen doesn't run for at least 50 or 60 yards, there's no reason to think that Buffalo's going to run the football effectively. So we're asking Josh Allen up against Tyrann Mathieu, up against Juan Thornhill, up against Snead, possibly up against Bashaud Breeland. Is he going to throw for 350 yards in this game? If he does, all of the praise, all of the accolades that will be thrown on Josh Allen's way for them pulling off the upset will be deserved. If he comes into this environment, and Kansas City, I expect to be loud, even though it's going to be limited capacity, it's still going to be a difficult environment. The weather's not going to really be predicated in a way in which it's going to be those big-time passing numbers. If he comes in here, and I wouldn't say single-handedly because you've got one of the better pass-catching duos in the NFL, but it's certainly not going to come help from the ground. It's going to come help by him playing one of the better games we've seen this NFL season.
So if he does take off and he does run, and he's like the leading rusher, kind of what you're talking about right now, I think that for the Chiefs, that almost bodes well for them in a weird way. Josh Allen has proven that this year he's accurate. He's got a big arm. Who knows what the weather's going to be? I think that, as Boomer pointed out, the reason they drafted him is to play in games like this, albeit they probably figured that the snow game, the wind game would be in Buffalo. We don't know exactly what the weather calls for. So I think that the Chiefs need to try to make Josh Allen. Do you consider Josh Allen to be a running quarterback?
I think he's one of the most mobile quarterbacks in the league.
Do you consider him to be a running quarterback? Because Patrick Mahomes obviously one of the more mobile quarterbacks, but I don't consider him a running quarterback.
I would not consider Josh Allen to be a running quarterback.
The reason I ask is this. When's the last time the Chiefs really got busted by a quote-unquote running quarterback? Most of the time, they do a pretty good job when they face a Deshaun Watson or a Lamar Jackson or any of those type of dudes. Baker Mayfield last week, I don't know if you consider him a running quarterback, but you get my drift. If there's those quarterbacks that can get out of the pocket and try to run down the field, not a lot of those guys that I can remember have been able to beat Patrick Mahomes.
We need caller number 6 to 913-576-7610. 913-576-7610. Caller number 6 wins a free 16-inch pizza from the other place. Our guys at the other place are giving out pizza, so we're happy to give it to you. Coming up on the other side, we will get the weather report from Joe Loria of Fox 4, and if the weather is going to have a major impact on the game, we're getting you ready for the AFC Championship game right here on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. The weather could be frightful on Sunday for the Chiefs and the Bills. Let's get a weather report from Joe Loria of Fox 4.
So, yeah, obviously everybody is all excited about Sunday. Mother Nature is not as excited about Sunday around here. We've got a couple of things happening. First of all, I'm expecting some rain Sunday morning, but with the game holding off until late in the afternoon and early in the evening, whatever rain we're getting on Sunday afternoon is going to be very, very light, more of a mist and a drizzle type thing. So I'm not expecting a whole ton of rain for the actual game or for tailgating. It'll just be a nuisance every so often. So have the rain gear, that is for sure. Have an umbrella, you know, for tailgating and stuff like that. But hopefully it won't be any downpour or anything crazy like that that'll really impact you tremendously. It will be chilly, though. Temperatures probably for tailgating around 40 degrees, but dropping as we get closer to the game. And with the game being late in the afternoon into the evening, temperatures are going to drop down into the 30s. And with the winds out of the northeast at around 10, 15 miles an hour, the wind chill factor probably down to around 25 or 30. For most of the game. That's the way things look here. By the way, up in Green Bay, just very quickly, they're expecting snow on Sunday. Should be winding down as the game gets started up there.
So that's the weather report from Joe Loria of Fox 4. One thing that makes this Chiefs team so special and so unique to me is they have the ability to beat you a bunch of different ways. If this game is played in a 45-41 manner, they certainly have the quarterback to do so. I think they could win this game 28-24 if they need to, based on their defense and how they've evolved. I think we saw the first time these two teams played each other, albeit I don't think they're going to run the ball 46 times for 250 yards in this game, but we did see they could play that style and go on the road and beat a playoff team, a team that we think all season has been one of the five best in the NFL. What's made this run so special from Kansas City is it hasn't really been one formula in dominating their opposition. They've done it a multitude of ways.
Yeah, the first game, though, if you really think about it, the reason why both offenses looked pedestrian, Patrick Mahomes looked average, Josh Allen looked terrible, Tyreek Hill looked okay, Travis Kelce looked eh, was basically because of the weather. So it does matter. Speaking of the weather, man, you want to become like a legend in life? Just come be a weatherman or woman here in Kansas City. People know you. I bet that when he goes out in public, whether you're Joe Loria or Mike Thompson, I can go all day. Gary Amble, Gary Lezak, Brian Busby. You just walk out and get everything for free. And quite frankly, it doesn't really matter if you get your opinions right or wrong. You stay employed. That's the business we should have got into.
So I want to play this for you. This was Sean Barber when he was on the show yesterday, because I thought he made a really good point about Buffalo and how they play in comparison to Kansas City.
Then I think they definitely call plays toward their strength, which is the passing game. And I don't think you need to run. I think it would be it's easier to play the game of football when the defense doesn't know if you're going to run a pass. It has a little bit of doubt. The play action actually does work when you actually do run the ball a little bit. That does add a little bit of it makes those linebackers and safety suck up a little bit, so you can get some shots down the field. But no, I don't think you need to do it, but you just have to be so accurate and so precise every drive with the passing game. It's something I wouldn't, if I was offense coordinator, I wouldn't look forward to doing.
Yesterday, Barber talked to us a lot about tempo and sort of how teams play the game, and I thought he made a really good point. In all of these close games that Kansas City has played now, it seems like for almost 3 months, very few teams have been able to do what they want to do against Kansas City. Last week, we talked a lot about Cleveland's rushing attack and how they had two potential top five running backs in the league in Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb. You certainly wouldn't have guessed it based on the game plan and based on how they came out there and did it. Kansas City did a fantastic job the first time these two teams played against their bread and butter. They did a good job against Allen. They did a good job against Stephon Diggs. They did a good job against Cole Beasley. We just had Boomer Esiason on the show, and he says that he thinks Beasley's the key. If they can stop him from having that six catches for 85 yards a day, then this is the game that they're going to be able to win. Can Kansas City consistently win their matchups against the three Bills playmakers? The first time, they did a fantastic job on all three of those guys, and they held Buffalo to under 21 points.
Yeah, Buffalo's going to have to deal with some new stuff, though. I think that's going to be a big part of this football game, where Andy Reid always saves something for when the game matters the most. And frankly, right now, the game matters the most. You win, you go to the Super Bowl. You lose, you go home, and then you talk about how sad you are. So I think that we're going to see some stuff. Hell, we saw in the Super Bowl him unleash some stuff that we haven't seen. We've seen already in this postseason. I think that you're going to see some stuff, and I think that I was reading an article earlier today on arrowheadpride.com, and there was a question, would you put Tyreek Hill back to return punts? And my answer during the regular season is a loud and resounding and capitalized, hell no. Returning punts, he's way too valuable. I don't care if he takes five of them back. He's way too valuable as a wide receiver and a decoy and a guy that takes double teams to put him out there returning punts. Once the playoffs come around, then I completely change my opinion. So if he's out there returning punts, if Patrick Mahomes is out there with design runs, even though I know what happened last time they did that, if they're running flea flickers or end arounds or behind the back passes or things that we haven't seen, I think that's another thing Buffalo's going to have to deal with. You're talking about style and tempo. One, it's not going to look like the first game. And two, I'm not sure it's going to look like the Chiefs that we've seen for most of this season, because one thing Andy's best at is being creative when it matters most.
You bring up Tyreek Hill as a punt returner. He was actually asked about, or Dave Tobe was actually asked about that earlier today.
A situation where we know probably, you know, it's a big, obviously a big situation where we need a return. Hill is fresh. He happens to be in eye contact with me. You know, a lot of those things come into play. You know, I've talked to Coach Reed about maybe before. You know, there's a lot of issues that go into it, but we just know that he is available and he's ready to go. He practices and he caught punts all week this week with, you know, with Dustin punt to him, with left-footed punter. He's ready to go. He wants to do it. So it's just a matter of just, you know, finding the right, you know, time to call his number and he would give us his own, that's for sure.
Yo, that's as real as it gets, C-Dot. He said this and that, and then he's like, you know, and if he makes eye contact with me and if he twists my arm. So that's how it goes. You know, if he's around and the situation's big enough, if you made me bet, and we're going to get into some props later on the show, if you made me bet, you put the over-under at 1.5 punt returns, we'll see Tyreek Hill out there. I'll bet all $26 in my bank account that he definitely returns one punt in this game.
Yeah, I would certainly expect that he's going to be back there for the reasons that you gave. It is the chance to go to the Super Bowl, and that's your best option. He's a better kick returner, punt returner than Mecole Hardman, DeMarcus Robinson, and you could potentially need that explosive player. Points might not be at a premium in this game if the weather is going to play itself out how the forecast is saying. If it's going to be a 40 degree day, it's going to be rainy, it's going to be 25% winds, very similar to the first matchup, you might not see Mahomes air it out. You might have to do some different things. You might need a big play on defense or in the special teams to get things going. I know we haven't really talked a whole lot about it this week, understandable, but now that we're 48 hours from the game, the weather could potentially play a factor in this game. I just think that Kansas City has shown an ability to still be able to move the ball and still be effective in any conditions. I don't think Buffalo's shown that this year.
I'm with you. It's not sexy to talk about, but it does matter, and it's part of the Chiefs' advantage. Really, a couple of years ago when they lit up the league in 2018, Pat's MVP year, part of the reason was it felt like they started at midfield all the time. They always put themselves in good field position. So I think that's going to be important. And another thing that we didn't spend enough time talking about during the Cleveland game, if they didn't get an early lead in that game, which we know the Chiefs aren't prone to necessarily doing in the playoffs, we saw them make a Super Bowl run where they didn't have a lead in any of the games to start off. If they didn't have a lead in that game, they would have lost that game. And then we'd be talking about the Royals right now. Or we'd be talking about a AFC championship game and how sad and crazy it is that the Chiefs aren't in it. Let's not get it twisted. If the Chiefs don't build the lead, if Chad Henne's in there for any longer than 20 minutes or however much he had to play, then the Chiefs probably lose that football game. I know it was a weird, twisted set of circumstances where they built the lead, and it was important because Patrick Mahomes got hurt. But it's important, again, in this game to build a lead. Let Buffalo chase, because you're talking about how one-dimensional they are. If you can really make them one-dimensional and really make Josh Allen uncomfortable, which could happen. I've seen it before. It happened earlier this year. I've seen a lot of quarterbacks come to Arrowhead. And frankly, Patrick Mahomes is very used to this stage at this point. It's not like he's been here once or twice. This is the third time in 3 years. This is not anything that he hasn't seen. And he's been on a bigger stage than this. The guy won the Super Bowl last year. This is the biggest stage Josh Allen's played on. So there's a lot of question marks that you have for Josh Allen that you know that you don't have for Patrick Mahomes.
Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll get to some brand spanking new Levine's locks. This season, you have maintained that the Chiefs haven't played their best football yet, whether it was offensively, defensively, special teams. They were waiting for the playoffs, and they were going to be able to turn it on. We didn't get a chance to see that fully last week because of the Mahomes injury. Are you expecting the real version of the Kansas City Chiefs? Are you expecting a full 60-minute locked-in version, balls to the wall, pedal to the metal, whatever phrase that you want to use to describe this team playing their A-plus effort? Are you expecting that on Sunday against Buffalo?
Are you under the impression Patrick Mahomes is going to be there?
Yes.
And Sammy Watkins?
Correct.
And Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Correct.
So basically everybody but Willie Gay. Cool. I mean, I think that if you're talking about essentially, and I haven't even heard the latest on Willie Gay, I assume he's
not playing.
Not playing. If you've got all hands on deck, you win this game, you go to the Super Bowl, the defense stepped up in the last game, and you tell me, didn't it look like the Chiefs were about to run a roughshod over the Cleveland Browns if Patrick Mahomes didn't get hurt? All credit to Chad Henne for coming in and doing what he did. Anything is possible, baby. Am I the only one who thinks that the Chiefs were about to win that game 42-24 like we predicted if Patrick Mahomes didn't get hurt?
No, I thought that Cleveland was completely outmatched in that game. I thought that Kansas City was certainly on the verge to scoring at least 35 or more points in the game. It's got slowed down. That's what I said. I said aside from last week, because we can't really judge that. I know they didn't score their 30 points, but everybody can identify the circumstances in which they didn't do it. There's only two games left to see that A-plus game we're talking about here. They've been saving this effort, this magical effort that we haven't seen all season for these next two moments.
It's not fair to say we didn't see it at all. It's been a long, long time since we've seen the Chiefs be at their best.
I think the caliber of opponent that Buffalo is and or Tampa Bay or Green Bay, I think light years ahead of Cleveland. I think Cleveland was the worst remaining team in the playoffs. Yeah. Maybe it's unfair to say because of the Rams and all their situations. I think Cleveland was the perfect matchup for them. This is a different challenge. This is the team that over the last 2 months has been as hot as you are.
Oh, yeah.
Calling them the Chiefs light. They're normally good at a lot of things, though. Chiefs are the best at quarterback in the NFL. Buffalo's fourth in quarterback in the NFL. Kansas City has the best weapons in the NFL. Buffalo has the third best weapons in the NFL. Kansas City's defense is 14th. Buffalo's defense is 16th. Like, these two teams are pretty comparable in, I guess, how they want to beat teams, how they attack teams, and where they are. We just think that Kansas City's the better version of the team. I do think that Buffalo is one of the teams where if Kansas City plays a B-minus effort, I think Buffalo can beat that team. Like, I don't really think Cleveland's good enough to beat Kansas City's B-minus effort. I think that Green Bay is good enough to do that. I think that Tampa Bay is good enough to do that. I do think that Buffalo's good enough to do that. Is Kansas City going to play that B-plus game or higher on Sunday?
I agree with that part, because you said a lot heading into the Cleveland game that they have to do this and they have to do that and they have to get a turnover and Baker has to throw for 300 yards and the running game has to do this and they have to catch a break and a call and all these different things. Essentially, we were saying the Browns have to play a perfect game to beat the Chiefs. We didn't really know it was going to play out the way that it did, especially the Mahomes injury it changed all of our predictions. Had we known that, we would have said different things all week long. That being said, I agree with you. The Chiefs can't mess around in this game. They can't get behind. I don't think they have to play a perfect game, the Chiefs. I don't think Buffalo has to play a perfect game to beat Kansas City. On the flip side of that, the safety net that I've been talking about for the Chiefs this entire year, let's just call it what it is. They were 14-2 and didn't really play great football or up to their capacity. They played good enough to win. They had enough talent in the coaching, but everybody knows that they can play better. So, yes, to answer your question, I do think that we're going to see that coming up on Sunday night against the Buffalo Bills, and I think there's a chance that we see it on both sides of the ball.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll be joined by John Murphy. He is the voice of the Buffalo Bills. He will be on the show coming up at 3 o'clock. Bills game week coverage is brought to you by Rainer Garage Doors of Kansas City. Coming up next, we'll get some Levine locks. We'll also take a look at some player props for Sunday in the AFC Championship game. That's next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by John Murphy. He is the play-by-play voice for the Buffalo Bills. Someone points out the last time that we had the play-by-play voice of a team on, this happened.
If Drew says he's ready to go, Drew's ready to go. And quite honestly, no one in that building is going to tell him otherwise.
Do you think it shows, Zach, any sort of, I guess, lack of confidence in the guy that's been going out there, Taysom Hill, the last several weeks?
I don't think John Murphy's going to hang up on us. Now, he could. I don't know. I've never spoken to John Murphy. I don't know if he's going to hang up on us or not, but I feel very confident he's not going to hang up on us. I do want to point out that, I mean, I was right about Drew Brees. It's not like I was wrong about Drew Brees. We saw Brees play in the game against the Chiefs. He wasn't good enough to go out there. That guy owes us an apology.
Yeah, I mean, I was right about Taysom Hill, too. Like, he wasn't a great option, and I think the guy got a little bit sensitive. You asked him a question if Drew Brees was washed up, and I asked him a question if they didn't have confidence in the backup quarterback, and he was done with us. So I look forward to maybe visiting with him in the Super Bowl. Oh, yeah, his team got their asses knocked out. Never mind. Enjoy your offseason, sir.
Coming up in a little bit, John Murphy, the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills, will be on the show. Before we do that, let's take a look at some player props for Sunday's AFC Championship game.
All right, so you know I'm the gambling type. I like a lot of these. Curious your thoughts, C-Dot. Here's some of the props coming up in the game. Even money.
If you like them, I need to be on the other side. I don't like
That's why I want your opinion first. Rob, feel free to chime in if you want. And then I'll tell you what not to do. Missed extra point. Check this out. Missed extra point in the game. Now, you could get the Buffalo kicker who, what's his last name? Salmon? Bass? Some sort of fish. Tuna? Combined with Harrison Butker. Missed extra point, even money. Yes or no?
I mean, just based on the track record of Harrison Butker, I would bet yes. It's not going to be good conditions. He's very shaky foot when it comes to those 33-yard field goals. I mean, even money. I mean, you got a 50-50 coin flip here. I'm betting on the yes.
Are we being serious? Like, if you actually had money in front of you, you would say that the odds are you do think that our kicker is going to miss again?
I mean, I wouldn't really be in the hope of rooting against extra points.
Of course,
that's
not
really where I would be betting. But yeah, my confidence level on Harrison Butker in this game on extra points is not very high.
It's so weird. We've gotten this far in the season for a guy that people loved for like 2 months, and we still don't know if he's an asset or a liability. But I'm with you. I think if you give me both kickers and adverse conditions and a bunch of touchdowns and a bunch of chances, I'm going to play the miss also. All right, Josh Allen, passing yards, over under 299. Will Josh Allen throw for 300 yards? Which way are you playing it?
Yeah, I'm going to take the under in this game. I trust Kansas City's defense. I also think the weather is going to be an issue and a factor in the game. I'm going to take the under on Josh Allen passing yards at 300. I think he throws for somewhere in the probably 260 to 280 range, but I don't feel confident enough to bet on him throwing 300.
Yeah, I'm with you. It would be 178 yards more than he threw for the first time. Now, that was early in the season, adverse conditions, the worst game that he played. The Chiefs defense was playing really well, and I don't think he had the connection with Stephon Diggs. I echo what you said. I think that he probably puts up something like 260. I think he has a good game. I don't think he puts up 300 yards. I think that L.J. Snead does a good enough job on Stephon Diggs where it's not a major issue. I'd be surprised if he's like 60 yards and a touchdown, something like that. But I don't think he's going to have one of those buck 53 touchdown type of games. We'll see. What do you think about this one? Now you can get 3-1 on your money, plus 333. Stephon Diggs and Travis Kelce both have to score a touchdown.
Yeah, I'd bet on that. I mean, I think Buffalo's going to be able to move the ball and score. And if you're telling me if I have to pick any player on the Buffalo Bills to score a touchdown, I'd bet on Stephon Diggs. I'd probably bet the same thing on Travis Kelce. If you had to give me any one player on the team, I know both have to happen simultaneously in order to cash your bet. But I feel pretty confident that's going to happen. I'd bet yes on
that. Yeah, half your parlay is already taken care of. Like you said, Travis Kelce. I think Travis Kelce's already in the end zone. I think that he's the biggest mismatch problem for a lot of teams and certainly a mismatch problem for this team also. Last one, the over-under is 54. Which way are you going? Tons of points or not a lot?
I mean, I'd probably honestly stay away from it, but in the point of playing the game, I'd take the over on this because I trust in Kansas City enough in this. But, I mean, with the weather and the uncertainty, that's just not where I would go. If I'm going to place a bet, I'd much rather place it on Kansas City -3 than place it on the over-under in this game.
Your boy Nick Kizer is 23-1 to score a touchdown.
I have zero interest in betting on Nick Kizer to score a touchdown in this game. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll catch up with John Murphy, who is the play-by-play voice of the Buffalo Bills. But before we do that, let's get you some Levine's Locks.
Levine's Locks.
So, we have time to hear how I did last week. The Rams plus 7 against Green Bay. We were just talking about it.
Nope.
If you really got a pair, like my boy C-Dot, take the Rams on the money line. Baltimore plus 2.5 against Buffalo. We were just talking about this one. Play the money line on that one.
Nope.
You know, if it's that close and we're both going, I like Baltimore for these reasons and Buffalo for this reason, who cares about home field advantage or weather or any of that stuff? It's just going to be a close football game and a great football game. Play the money line with Baltimore plus 140.
It wasn't either of those.
The Chiefs line seems huge. You don't usually see a double-digit line like this.
No.
We know you went
Are we going for an over five?
It's pretty much
staying
steady, though.
Have you guys put your kids in here?
I laid the 10 with Kansas City
over Cleveland. Over three.
Tampa on the money line over New Orleans. We just talked about it. I think that Tampa Bay ends up winning this game, and you're not even going to be sweating this Max Holloway by knockout.
All right, Max didn't knock him out, but he had a hell of a performance. Max Holloway threw over 700 punches versus Calvin Kattar.
I think if we look at your Levine's Locks this postseason, you're like 2-for-8.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I think I'm actually 1-for-9. Thanks for the kind words.
My bad.
Play the money line again with the Bucs, though. Tampa Bay took care of Green Bay earlier this year. Don't laugh at me, Rob. Plus 165. I like the Buccaneers, and I like C-Dot being pissed off because Tom Brady's in the Super Bowl versus Patrick Mahomes. Oklahoma City tonight. Yeah, that's right. The NBA. Not a lot of football to tell you about. Thunder getting 14.5 against the Clippers. Play that one. You know I'm giving up the Chiefs 3 against the Buffalo Bills. I think the Chiefs win that game. I don't know about by double digits, but they're winning by more than 3. And the UFC, Conor McGregor is back. First, before that, Dan Hooker fights Michael Chandler. Dan Hooker by knockout. Michael Chandler finds out real quick that Bellator's not the UFC. And Conor McGregor, look, he's a huge favorite against the Diamond, Dustin Poirier. It's going to be a hell of a fight, but there's a reason why he's a big favorite. Take Conor McGregor by knockout. And that's this week's Levine's Locks, brought to you by 7th Street Casino. 7th Street Casino, where it's at.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by John Murphy. He is the longtime play-by-play voice for the Buffalo Bills. We take a closer look at the Chiefs' AFC Championship game opponent. Coming up next, stick around. It's The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.